Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It is your lucky day, Bruce Springsteen. Maybe. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today it's a battle over the boss, his new album, and his pop music legacy. And later, Duncan Sheik's foray into Broadway earned him a Tony Award. The singer-songwriter joins us to talk about the role of the theater on his new album, Whisper Horse. But first, it's good to be the boss. Last week, Bruce Springsteen rocked Washington, D.C. before the Barack Obama inauguration. Today, he releases his 16th studio album called Working on a Dream, and you're hearing a bit of it now. And on Sunday, he'll perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. So yeah, it's good to be the boss. Except for when you're headed for a
Soundcheck Smackdown!
That's right. Today, the Soundcheck Smackdown dares to take on Springsteen. And with New Jersey visible from our studio windows, two gladiators have entered the ring. Lizzie Goodman was born to run. She's editor-at-large at Blender Magazine. And all revved up like a deuce is Phil Freeman, music writer and editor-in-chief of Metal Edge Magazine. My question to you, Lizzie, Bruce Springsteen, legend or leftover?
Legend. Come on.
Why?
Now. Come on. He's an American hero. He is, and deservedly so. He writes rock that's Americana for, you know, the baby boomer generation and beyond. It's absolutely quintessentially American music, and he is the quintessential American rock star.
Phil, same question to you. A legacy artist or a leftover?
I think his time has long passed.
Are you wearing body armor, I hope?
You know, I have so many objections. I mean, just starting with the mere superficiality of the guy's voice. You know how George W. Bush is the only member of his family who talks like that?
Right.
I live in New Jersey. I grew up in New Jersey. Bruce Springsteen is the only person who talks like that. And it just descends from there. I mean, it's...
That's your opening gambit, though, is his voice? The way he speaks?
The way he sings, too. He sings like he's passing a peach pit. You know? I mean, it's... Oh,
ouch.
He's awful. And,
well, peaches are very Americana, I suppose.
Yes, good point. Yes, stone fruit grows in the farms of New Jersey. What do you got against peaches, man? No, I mean, his voice is the whole... There's no doubt that there's a sort of shtick about Bruce Springsteen. He developed a sound, a look, a style that is quintessentially archetypical. You know, he borrowed that and then invented it and then has marketed himself as like the good old boy Jersey hero sitting on, you know, on the hood of a Chevrolet drinking warm beer in the sun. And that is an illusion that appeals to a lot of people, whether it's honest at this point or not. I mean, is how much time is Bruce really spending, like, you know, in Asbury Park these days? It almost doesn't matter, because the authenticity was there when he needed it at the beginning of his career, and he's still trading on it. But that's what artists do.
All right, now we asked you, Lizzie, to pick a track that for you kind of is emblematic of what you're talking about, and you chose Thunder Road. Why?
Because it's a beautiful song. It's classically Springsteen. It tells a story. But also, when I hear it, I feel like an American, you know? I feel sort of connected to my country and to what he's representing about it, as cheesy as that sounds.
That, of course, Thunder Road from Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. Lizzie, I can't help but notice that you picked a song that's over 30 years old.
Oh, you noticed that, did you?
So, I mean, what's going on? He's got a new record out. He's got the new Greatest Hits collection, of course, at Walmart. We can talk about that later.
Yes.
Why go back to the back catalog like this?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any... I think it would be ludicrous for any, even a hardcore Springsteen fan, to argue that the last, you know, 15 years of his output were better than the first 15 years of his output. I don't think that negates the argument that he's still relevant to say that the best music he made was earlier in his career. So that's why.
Phil Freeman, we asked you to pick a track that sort of typifies your objections to The Boss, and you actually did go right to the new record. Tell us what is so appalling about Queen of the Supermarket.
It kind of reminds me, did you ever hear William Shatner's version of the song Common People by Pulp? That's what Queen of the Supermarket reminds me of. It's a perfect example of someone totally not getting it. It sounds like an attempt at singer-songwriter pathos by Michael Scott from The Office, you know?
That
getting up
kind
at
of
open
awesome,
mic night.
Yeah.
And but, I mean, the track that Lizzie picked kind of just makes me want to listen to Meatloaf. You know, I mean, I like, it's the same thing, but he didn't have John Landau and Dave Marsh there to convince him he was a genius.
Meatloaf didn't.
Yeah.
All right, but here is Queen of the Supermarket from the brand new Springsteen record called Working on a Dream. Of something wonderful and rare. The way she moves behind the counter, beneath her white apron, her secrets remain hers. As she bags the groceries, her eyes so bored and sure she's unobserved. Queen of the Supermarket from the new Bruce Springsteen album, Working on a Dream. Phil Freeman, I have to say, reading the reviews, you have lots of company, people not liking this particular track. What about let me ask you both, the album as a whole, the new record, Working on a Dream, it's melodic, it's full of hooks and stuff. Phil, what's not to like?
I just, I haven't dug through the whole thing yet, but starting with the fact that it was streaming on National Public Radio, home of music that's good for you, that was, you know, that was the first big warning sign to me. But I just feel
now,
like...
wait a minute. Mr. Metal Edge Magazine.
You know, it's. I just feel like the first single, Working on a Dream, for example, is... it sounds like one of those late 80s Roy Orbison, like, reworkings of his songs, his original hits, where he's sort of half speed and kind of struggling along. I mean, I don't know. His rhythm section just hasn't really – nobody's lit a fire under them in about 20 years. You know, I mean, The Rising is like – it's supposed to be this big rock anthem, and it's like a death march, you know? It's – I mean, I don't know. It's just – the band –
the band being the E Street Band.
The E Street Band, just, they don't have any get up and go anymore.
Lizzie? What?
I think Phil's really onto something that's, maybe we agree about the following, but interpret what that means differently, which is that this album is sort of pastiche Bruce. I mean, it is sort of him covering himself, him borrowing from previous versions of himself in the search to figure out who he is right now. You know, the idea of someone writing a song, the supermarket song, is him not getting it. Yes. But what he's not getting is himself. You know, he's not getting what was good about him when something was good about him. And in a way, that's kind of what makes this record worthwhile, is that it's a hero, a brilliant genius artist relocating what made them that way in the first place. And so that's what makes it interesting at the very least, whether it's, you know, filled with singles that everyone wants to hear all the time. That's for, you know, other listeners to decide. But that's what makes the album interesting.
And listeners, we do want you to decide. What do you think of Bruce Springsteen? And what do you think of the new album if you've had a chance to hear it? As Phil told us, with some disgust dripping from his voice, it's been streaming at nprmusic.org for the past week. Phil Freeman is editor-in-chief at Metal Edge Magazine. Lizzie Good- Goodman, editor-at-large at Blender Magazine. We are debating Bruce Springsteen, the new record, his legacy. And if you're a fan, if you were a fan and have lost interest, or you were never a fan to begin with, give us a call. Let us know what you think of Springsteen's place. And let's talk about what his place is, guys, because suddenly he is well beyond the world of rock music. I mean, let me give out our phone number first. I didn't quite finish there. 212-433-WNYC. We've already got calls coming in. 212-433-9692. Or leave a comment on the soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Our producer, Joel Meyer, is responding to comments, and he'll be sharing some of them with us in just a few minutes. So go online or on the phone and be a part of our soundcheck smackdown today. So we're talking about a guy who is visible in the Obama campaign. He backed Kerry, and you know, that was Springsteenish. You know, he was backing the underdog. Now he's backed a winner, you know, a big winner. And he's Mr. Super Bowl halftime. He won a Golden Globe for the music from The Wrestler. Lizzie, is this subverting the image of the underdog Springsteen?
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I'm going to refer to a comment Pete Wentz made, actually, about this.
From Fall Out Boy,
yes. He wrote a piece on thehuffingtonpost.com sort of likening the new Obama administration to Lauryn Hill. In the idea, he's kind of a genius, the guy. The idea is, what happens when somebody who's promising gets their shot? How do we judge? It's no longer enough to be promising. You actually have to achieve something. So in that sense, you know, the idea that Bruce is kind of connected fundamentally with the dark horse in the race, kind of come from behind paradigm. What happens now when you're at the front runner, essentially? And I think that he, as an artist, is contending with that, and his heroes in America, like Barack Obama, are contending with that as well. So it's a very timely thing for him to be struggling.
It's a struggle that also echoes in the movie The Wrestler that Bruce Springsteen won a Golden Globe for this song, which appears over the closing credits, and it's simply called The Wrestler, and it is the bonus track on the new record.
Have you ever seen a one-trick pony in the field so happy and free? If you've ever seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-legged dog making his way down the street? If you've ever seen a one-legged dog, then you've seen me. Then you've seen me. I come and stand at every door. And you've seen me. I always leave with less than I had before. And you've seen me, but I can make you smile when the blood it hits the floor. Tell me, friend, can you ask for anything more?
That is The Wrestler, song from the movie. It appears on the new Bruce Springsteen record called Working on a Dream. Springsteen, the subject of our Soundcheck Smackdown this week. Comments coming in, callers on the line. Peter on our Soundcheck page says, I love Bruce, I do, but R.E. The Wrestler at Warrant's asking, Bruce, have you ever seen a one-legged dog? Because I don't think you have. A three-legged dog, sure, but a one-legged dog would just, well, fall over. Sorry to nitpick your metaphor, boss. Still a great track. All right, let's see what some of our listeners think. Brian joins us from Nyack, and Ted joining us from Rockland County, so upstate well-represented. Brian, I understand you are not a fan. Why?
I am not a fan, John. I never got it. I never understood what all the hype was about, you know, the whole future of rock and roll. And
You're referring to the famous John Landau quote, the critic who said, I've seen the future of rock and roll, and its name is Bruce Springsteen, back in the mid-70s.
Yeah. You know, when he first came out, I had friends say, oh, you got to go see this guy. He's like Van Morrison. I said, well, if I want to see Van Morrison, I'll go see Van Morrison.
Right, hang on a second, Brian. Ted, you are a fan, right?
You know, I wasn't a fan when Landau made that comment. I was playing live myself. He was my competition. And when he came back with The Rising, he drew me in. I was a fan. And that whole one-legged dog thing just turned me right off.
So you were a fan from 2001 to 2009. Is that basically it?
That's basically it. I mean, you know, he got out of the family, and they drew him back in a big way. You know, that Rising, he really put it together. And, you know, just like Neil Young with Ohio, it was irrelevant, it was current, it was spot on. But that one-legged dog, please.
All right. Ted in Rockland County, Brian in Nyack, thank you both for the calls. Phil, Ted wasn't a fan. The Rising made him a fan. But yet you seem to think The Rising was not so good either.
Well, I'm kind of not a big fan of political Springsteen. I feel he's kind of right up there with Sean Penn as people I don't want on my side of issues. You know, it's there's a whole long list of people like that. It's like, I agree with everything you say, but just shut up.
All right, let's get a few more voices in. Joel Meyer is manning the soundcheck page on our website at WNYC.org. Joel, what's going on in there?
Well, the earth is shaking, John. The soundcheck smackdown of Bruce Springsteen is causing some tremors here. We're getting pro-Bruce and anti-Bruce comments. Eric from Brooklyn said, I saw him live in 1987 and 2004. He said, that's a huge gap, and he hadn't lost any energy in that time. Can you think of another rock and roller who's still doing that 25 years after everyone assumed he had peaked? Now, on the other side of the fence, Tommy H. from New Jersey wrote in, and he said, I used to consider Bruce one of my favorite artists. I stood out in the cold and the rain for concert tickets. After listening to his political rants the last decade, I dropped off the wagon, stopped buying his CDs, and did not even consider seeing him live anymore. So I posted a comment to Tommy. I said, well, tell me more. Is it you don't like his politics, or you just don't like that he's now political and endorsing candidates like you were talking about earlier, John? So he elaborated and said, he's much too liberal for me. I did not appreciate his bashing of the Bush presidency during concerts and preferred he stuck to music. So I thought that was interesting. If you got similar thoughts like that, go to the soundcheck page at WNYC.org. We've got a great link up there from a music writer named Mickey who lives in, or sorry, his name is Alex Cook. He lives in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he blogged about it and posted a very funny YouTube clip from the old Ben Stiller show that involves a great Bruce Springsteen parody. So I recommend you check it out.
All right. Joel Meyer's in the control room where he is moderating the comments as they come in on our Soundcheck Smackdown. We'll check in with Joel again in just a little bit. And we're speaking with Phil Freeman, editor-in-chief of Metal Edge magazine, and Lizzie Goodman, editor-at-large of Blender magazine, in our Soundcheck Smackdown this week.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Springsteen's politics have always been progressive, so his decision to sell a greatest hit CD at Walmart, a company long lambasted by progressives, is confusing and maybe a little disappointing.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
And that, of course, is Joel Meyer, our producer, who's moderating the comments online. And he raises the point, Lizzie and Phil, about this. Nobody in the Springsteen camp is talking about this, but their greatest hit has gone straight to Walmart. Lizzie, what does that do for fans? I mean, how do you, as a Springsteen fan, feel about him being in Walmart's pocket?
Well, it's good news for fans who actually want to buy his album. I mean, I think the reason artists... There has always been this debate about Walmart as music becomes people buy music increasingly online, and then if you actually want to find the CD somewhere, it becomes increasingly difficult to do that as a result. Walmart has excellent distribution in America. We're talking about an artist who's identified with the heartland, who's identified with sort of small town America. And
but he's also identified with the working
class. The working class, sure. But, you know, the reality is that a lot of working class people in this country have Walmart as their primary source of music distribution. So that maybe that's a problem, but it's not a problem that you want to fight by making sure they can't buy your album ever. Essentially.
Phil, is it unfair to ascribe to the boss some kind of nefarious purpose that this Springsteen Greatest Hits collection is being made available through Walmart?
I think so, because, I mean, once you're on a major record label, you're already affiliating yourself with a huge multinational corporation that's going to do things you're not going to approve of. I mean, one of the examples I remember from the 80s, I think, was the Smiths were on EMI in the UK, which was some kind of affiliated with some sort of gigantic defense contractor, you know, or Rage Against the Machine. You know, they're super political and there they are, you know, on a major label.
So you're willing to cut him some slack for the Walmart thing.
Business is business.
All right. Awfully big of you, Phil. All right, let's hear what Yanni in Brooklyn. I hope I'm saying your name right, Yanni.
Yanni?
Yeah.
Yanni.
What's up?
Yanni. Are you a fan?
Yeah, I'm a big fan, actually.
And what do you think of the new record?
Well, I've only given it sort of one listen today on the way to work, and I will say I thought it was pretty okay. It didn't, like, grab me, I think, the way that some of the other albums have, but it's good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I'll listen to it again. But I wanted to just sort of address maybe two things that I had heard earlier in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of them was about, you know, the rhythm section on record, on the last couple records, not having that fire underneath them. And I think, though, you know, the E Street Band, they're a live band. But
right.
To judge the rhythm section, you got to really hear it live and in concert, which sometimes can sound kind of crappy, because if it's a big stadium, you don't get all the nuance. But if you see clips of them play live, I think they
right.
still definitely have got it, you know?
They are definitely known as a lot. What's the other point?
But the other thing was just, you know, the sort of phoniness around the working class persona. I think, you know, I've seen a bunch of interviews, and anytime I see them in concert, there's always sort of a wink, and the sort of delivery of the voice is always a little bit tongue-in-cheek. You know, it's a little bit like everyone knows he's not actually this working-class guy at this point, because he's, you know, like you said earlier, you know, on a huge record label
right.
and, you know, makes
All right.
millions of dollars.
So you think there's a certain amount of he knows what he is and where he is in his life at this point, and so he's not trying to put on anything. He's not trying to pull one over on us.
No,
I
he's
guess.
Not. He's trying, okay. trying to tell stories that communicate to a certain group of people, you know, take place in a certain landscape. And anytime an author has done that, they've not been called a phony. And I think because he's up there on stage sort of telling you these stories, it might come across as he's co-opting this image. But
all right, we'll leave it there for the moment, Yanni. Thanks for the call. Before we take a break, here's a little more from the new Springsteen record. This song is called Good Eye, from the album Working on a Dream. Little bit from the Bruce Springsteen record, Working on a Dream. And in a moment, we want to continue our conversation with our guests and with you. What do you think of Bruce Springsteen, legend or leftover? Our number is 212-433-WNYC. If the lines are busy, just leave a comment at WNYC.org. More calls and comments after the break. And then coming up a little bit later on, Duncan Sheik earned a Tony for his score to the Broadway musical Spring Awakening. Now he'll join us to share his latest album called Whisper Horse. This is Soundcheck.
At 6 months old, he done 3 months in jail.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Our Soundcheck Smackdown continues. We're debating Bruce Springsteen, his new album, his pop music legacy. And the phones are packed with people waiting to get in on the conversation. We'll check in with Joel Meyer, who's moderating the comments on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org as well. And in the background, the song Outlaw Pete. This is the opening track, an 8-minute epic from the new Springsteen record, Working on a Dream.
Father Jesus, I'm an outlaw, a killer, and a thief. And I slowed down only to sow my grief.
I'm outlaw peace. I'm outlaw peace. Can you hear me?
A little more from the Springsteen record, which has been streaming online at nprmusic.org for the past couple of days. And joining me in our studio, Lizzie Goodman of Blender Magazine, Phil Freeman of Metal Edge Magazine, and on the line with us, Kari from New Jersey. Kari, are you a fan?
I am a huge fan. Since 1973, I've been a fan.
Uh-huh. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, people say, in fact, our caller just before the break was saying how much of a live act he and the band are. Have you seen him live?
I have seen him live probably over 200 times. I don't know whether I should even admit that as an adult. but I'm also counting seeing him in local bars and whatnot over the years. I think the Smackdown, though, is it's not focusing on the right things in this in your arguments. You know, you guys are talking about how he has maybe I don't know, sold out, or is he a legend, or a leftover? And yeah, he did win a Golden Globe for a song that wasn't all that great. But he also won an Oscar a few years ago for Streets of Philadelphia, which I thought was a great song.
I agree. Yeah. So what's the point that we're missing then in our Smackdown?
I think you're focusing too much on the, wow, he used to write about cars and girls and the beach and all of that, and now he's, you know, he's not writing about that anymore. He's writing about more domestic issues. He's writing about things that are closer to the bone, I think, for him.
Hmm.
And he's not, I don't think he's the best happy writer. I think he's a much better blues sad writer.
All right, Phil, that's Kari's point, sort of well taken. What do you think of some of the bluesier records, Nebraska, Tom Joad? If not bluesy, then that kind of Dust Bowl folk balladeer kind of stuff.
I'm still kind of boggled by the 200 concerts. I mean, how do you have time to do anything else? His concerts are like 5 hours long.
Come on, you know? there are Grateful Dead fans for whom that's like a month's work.
Yeah, that's true. I do actually like Nebraska better than some of the other records. I think probably if I was going to pull one song out of his entire catalog, you know, they would say, okay, I'll keep this one and you can have the rest, it would be Atlantic City. But, you know, the working class sort of poetry persona, a little goes a long way, you know.
All right, let's check in with Joel Meyer in the control room, moderating the comments that have been coming in by the dozen on our dozens on our soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Are we seeing like a dissenting voices there, Joel, or is it all New Jersey rushing to the support of the boss?
Well, John, you know, it wouldn't be a Springsteen show if we didn't have people in the middle. Nikki from New York says, I think it's impossible to say Bruce is overrated, or for that matter, underrated. He's just Bruce. And then Mickey from New York reminds Soundcheck, by the way, he hates being called the boss. So I just wanted to let you know that, John. Apparently, he does not like the moniker.
Oh, he's welcome to come into the studio and tell us that himself.
Some great comments from people commenting about Springsteen's 2002 album, The Rising, and its role in the aftermath of 9/11. Laurie in Montclair, New Jersey, wrote really movingly about it. And CP from Brooklyn said, he literally healed me. And as usual, in a Soundcheck comment thread on a Soundcheck Smackdown, there's a wild debate about the one-legged dog line in The Wrestler, and that's raging with Brady from Staten Island recently posting, hey, a one-legged dog is a poetically perfect description for any person looking and trying for redemption and failing at it. So I'm sure that Brady will have a few responses as well, too. So post your comments at Soundcheck on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
All right. Thanks, Joel. Lizzie, a final word. I mean, why does America look to people like Springsteen at times of national crisis, 9/11, national sort of celebration, the inauguration and the upcoming Super Bowl?
I think, you know, we look to people like him to remind us who we are. And part of what's happening with this record is, whether you like it or not, that goal is being accomplished here, because he's wondering who he is. And people who love him are wondering whether he's being a good version of himself or a not so good version of himself on this album. So in that sense, mission accomplished.
The new album is called Working on a Dream from Bruce Springsteen. There's also the Greatest Hits Collection, which is available only at Walmart, somewhat controversially. And we've been speaking with Lizzie Goodman, editor-at-large of Blender Magazine, and Phil Freeman, editor-in-chief of Metal Edge Magazine. And Phil, Lizzie, we've provoked an awful lot of calls and comments. Thank you both for being part of our SmackDown this week.
Thanks for having
me. Pleasure to be here, yeah.
Can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the rising.
Coming up next, singer-songwriter Duncan Sheik wrote the music for Troubled Teens in Spring Awakening, and now he joins us to talk about his new musical theater piece about a haunted lighthouse. And tune in tomorrow for a live performance by the versatile Canadian jazz singer Holly Cole. This is Soundcheck.